outside. But, you know, I had the air conditioning technician came out yesterday and tuned up my system, so it's working fine, and that just makes me happy as I can be. So I'm getting to be a little bit too soft in my old age, I think, to be during the 100-degree heat. But anyway, now to bring us some announcements and also to introduce the main message today is our pastor, Mr. Jim Russell.
Well, thank you, Mr. Fleming, and a great big happy Sabbath to one and all who are on the phone or on the internet. We do appreciate it very much, you taking that time to be with us as we come together for God's services every Sabbath and annual Sabbath. And so we're very blessed to be able to have the avenue that Mr. Fleming was speaking about there in the prayer. So it's a real blessing, I think, for all of us to be able to have that, knowing that there are yet different thoughts within the groups of churches of God around this world, and certain areas that have certain peculiars that they think are different, shouldn't be taught or are taught. But anyway, that seems to be one of the things that separate us, because we feel that the calendar dates that God gives us need to come out of the Bible and not any other source. So anyway, that does separate us. It lets us know why we are coming together over the phone and the internet and not getting in big gatherings on some in some building. But anyway, again, happy Sabbath to you all. We are having some nice, beautiful weather here in Branson right now today, which I'm very happy about. The sun's nice and shiny, and a few flirting clouds just floating by, which are always pretty in the sky to see with that background of the blueness of the heavens. And so we are blessed, as well as being cooler. It's around the 80 today, which is nice for us. It's not in the 90s or 95s and so forth. And I'm glad for Mr. Fleming to be able to have nice weather where he's at there in Texas. And I understand from Mr. Martinez that they too are having some rain that they've had for the last day or so. And that's almost a regular thing there in Puerto Rico, I believe, that they do have plenty and their share of rain like Oregon and Washington does here in the United States. But anyway, as you know, some of these areas have been kind of drought stricken, like Oregon that we've been talking about, giving a prayer for them, a shout out to God for their help in getting some rain. Just like I would pray that we get the right rain here too. They are forecasting, I think, around midnight tonight that we might get a shower through here, and I pray we do. But anyway, it doesn't change today. Today we're coming together here on a very beautiful Sabbath day that God blessed us to be able to come together with. And as Mr. Fleming said, I do have announcements. Yeah, then it's not very many here, but I just want to bring all of you kind of up to date. There's no necessarily new ones that we've had this week asking us to pass along to you to help in prayers for them. But we know that you already have a prayer list, and this prayer list you do remember daily to be on your knees before God, thanking Him for the blessing of hearing our prayers for one another and having love, as that song points out very clearly. We're to have charity. So that all works together. It does in God's spirit through us that He's given us. And so prayfully we continue to have that kind of a blessing. We are, Joyce and I are kind of looking forward to our daughter and son-in-law going to be being here around the 4th of July. They're coming in for about a week to stay with us, and our granddaughter and her two little daughters. And so we appreciate the company from them, because we've been a while since we've seen them here. And so we're looking forward to getting together with that over the beginning of end of June here in the beginning of July. And they're coming to see some fireworks, which we always have here in Branson. I want to bring everybody kind of an update and refreshing on our webpage, which we are working on. I say we, it's not me, it's Mr. Martinez, and Mr. Martinez is doing a great job for us, I tell you, because that takes time, and you have to understand the language and all that, and he seems to have a clear head on understanding it, because I surely do not. But anyway, he is working on our webpage again, as I've asked him to do some changing on there, and he's been working on that for us. And if you've pulled the webpage up yourself, you can see the pre-recorded sermons that's being worked on. Because we don't want sermons that are old, and there has been a lot of them on there that's going clear back into the 1980s, and not 1980s, but 1990s and so forth, that I wanted removed, and so he's removing all those older sermons and trying to leave it off, leave them all off except for the 2017 and 2018 that we're working on right now throughout this year, and try to keep about maybe 2 years at the most of sermons on there and pre-recorded sermons. So he's doing that for us. He's going to be start removing more of them and working on that. So it's appreciated of him taking that time to do that. Checking on also taking off some of the articles. If you've been on there recently, you know we had a lot of articles on there. And so we're wanting them removed and starting fresh with fresh articles. As you know, every day is something new. Things change so fast and rapidly. And we, as God's Church of God and Truth, want to try to keep up with the newer things. And so that's why we're going to do away with the older articles and start fresh with new articles on the magazine and have everything more up to speed with what is going on today. The Prove All Things magazine, we're going to take those off and leave just the two 2017s and 2018s on for right now. Because that is a very important magazine to be going out to others, and all of you who are truly ambassadors and giving your tithes and offerings and your prayers are all truly behind that magazine, and that's why we are able to produce it and be able to pass it on. But the magazine has, it becomes so expensive mailing magazines out that we have drawn back on that because of the people in other areas. The magazine costs around $10 to produce and to put into their hands, and the amount of people we have on the mailing list, that would truly bring a lot of money out of the bank to do other work here for God. So we are going to try to take all of those older magazines and articles and so forth off of the web page and only work with the 2017 and 2018 to be on there. And like I said, that's how many people get their magazine from us, is on the internet. And they all have access to the internet. Just about every country I can think of has access to an internet. And I know the ones that do get it that way have written us and appreciated us getting it that way, because they recognize, as we do, the cost is just not sensible to do that when we can put it on the internet and they can read it and print it or do whatever, however they want to take it off of there. So that's another thing that Mr. Martinez is working on. Taking off all the old elder letters. Elder letters are dating way back and too far back, and so we need to get all of them off of there and just start with the newer ones here in 2018. That way we're right up to speed on that and what's usually talked about in the letters that I write there. So you might want to just keep these things in your prayers that this changes will be the right kind of changes to be making and getting more of an up-to-date and up-to-speed with everybody else. I've noticed other web pages are pretty much keeping up with the news today, and we would like to do that as well, but we don't want to have other articles that are dragging people's mind back on things that are back 10 years ago or further, and even further than that. We've been in Church, God, and Truth for 25 years now, which almost amazes me that we've been serving one another, you all of us have, and praying for one another that long. But anyway, that's some of the things we're trying to change, going to do. We're going to remove the 2017 Feast of Tabernacle invites, because that is definitely out of date. That happened last year, and now this year, on 2018, we have the need to have those on there, which are on there. All the dates for the holy days are on there, so you can check that out. And like I said, the old ones of 2017 are off. We're going to take them off and not have them be confusing people with the dates there on that on 2017. But anyway, we're going to be leaving the 2017 and the 2018 articles and magazines and all the things I just now talked about on. We're going to try to keep it all up to date for those who are living on that mailing range. Like I just mentioned, the cost is so expensive to mail them by the mail, so we put them on the internet so the readers of the Approve All Things can have it just up to date, just like you do, as we send that to you as well. And also, you, most of you all get the regular magazine because the cost is is permissible to be able to afford to do that. The articles on the Judaism articles, I want to leave them on the internet so everybody has access to that, and we can also, when people call and talk about it, we can tell them they can pull that up on the internet, or we can mail them to them if they wish. Either way, but at least that there is a calendar article, and so all the calendar articles we want to leave on, those don't change for us, and if they do, we will make the changes and make the announcement on the internet as well as during Sabbath services. So those are things that we're working on there on that on this internet and our webpage in order to get up to speed. But like I said, there'll be no changes there on the calendar articles or anything to do with the calendar. That all stays. Holy Day of 2018 dates and all that all stay. It's just we're going to bring everything more up present and not be so far behind. As we know, lagging behind isn't a good place to be. That's where Obama was, and we don't want to follow that pattern. Well, I think after redoing a lot of that web page, we should have some new readers and new people more curious again about what's going on, because most of them don't realize that there are updates and things that we need to be keeping up with. And many of them may dial in on our webpage and they find they're listening to news that was old 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and so they just never turn it on again. So anyway, all this updating that Mr. Martinez is going to be doing for us is going to be, I think, a big help for us. And so I would ask and solicit your prayers for that and the encouragement of it to get done in the right fashion, in the right way. Okay, with that, I don't hear anybody on the phone, so I take it that everybody has pressed *6 and they're nice and quiet, and so we're going to be able to have the sermon here today that Mr. Martinez will be bringing us. Mr. Fleming. I was having the rain on Puerto Rico that they still need our prayers over there because of the damage that the storms have done. But anyway, yes, I do going to bring on Mr. Fleming, who is having nice weather and had his air conditioner fixed, so he should be nice and fresh and cool and be ready to give the sermon. So with that, I'm going to introduce Mr. Fleming from Texas. Mr. Fleming.
Well, thank you, Mr. Russell. And again, greetings to all. It's a little high outside, but like I say, inside it's just extremely comfortable, so I'm probably not going to be going out anywhere the rest of the day or the evening, so that's just fine. Now, I'm going to try to bring a little bit lighter subject this week than it did the last time I spoke. That was very difficult. So today I'd like to start with a riddle. There's one item that I could mention that probably all of you listening today would acknowledge as being a precious and very valuable commodity. In fact, it is acknowledged worldwide as being just that. It used to back almost every currency in the world. And now most currencies are what they call fiat currencies. They just create them out of thin air. There's nothing backing them whatsoever. Now, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible speaks about it. Christians are told to build with it, and Laodiceans are told to buy it. The New Jerusalem will be made of it. So what is it? I'm sure most of you probably guessed. It's gold. Good old gold. Now, the dictionary simply defines it as a malleable, yellow metallic chemical element that's used especially for coins and jewelry. And if you've had chemistry, you know that the designation on the periodic table is AU. Now, gold, as most advertisers would be glad to tell you, has never been worth zero, regardless of the economy of the world or any particular country, for that matter. It was trading for just a little bit under $1,300 an ounce the last time I checked the newspaper, and investors like it as a hedge against inflation and a shaky stock market. Now, as far back as history records, no quest has excited human passions more than the prospect of discovering gold in some far-off place. You know, in fact, you probably have seen on the movie, where the cry of gold, has driven men across the deserts and mountain ranges and riches and fame, but most of them to just disappointment or death. Explorers have searched the world for it. History books tell of dramatic and irreversible changes brought to entire civilizations by the discovery of gold. What comes to mind is like the Spanish adventurers who plundered vast Aztec and Inca empires of Mexico and Peru to haul their golden treasures back to Europe. Now, gold is the first metal that's mentioned in Scripture and is described as being desirable to men from the very earliest of times. Now, in the description of the Garden of Eden and the surrounding area in Genesis 2, verse 11 and 12, we don't necessarily need to turn there, Genesis 2 and verse 11 and 12, it describes one of the rivers that flowed from the garden that went, it says, quote, to the land of Havilah, where there is gold. Now let's do turn to Genesis 13. Genesis 13 and verse 2. Abraham's great wealth was measured in part by his holdings in gold. It says Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Now I'll turn a little bit forward to Genesis 24. In Genesis 24 and verse 22, Abraham's servant, who was sent to find a suitable wife for Isaac, presented Rebekah, the future wife, with gold jewelry. It says, so it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring weighing a half a shekel, that's about a quarter of an ounce of gold, and two bracelets for her wrist weighing 10 shekels of gold. That's pretty heavy. Now, I'm not sure exactly how much all that's worth, but even then, it was probably worth a very considerable sum. And the instructions given in Exodus 25, we're not going to go there, but I'll just talk about it. God told Moses to make many of the sacred objects of the tabernacle service of pure gold and to overlay almost everything else with it. Now, the ark was overlaid with pure gold. The cherubim on top were cast in one piece of pure gold. The rings to carry it were of pure gold. The poles that went through the rings were overlaid with gold. The table for the showbread was overlaid with gold. The bowls, the pitchers, the lampstand were all of pure gold. Now, the lampstand, according to tradition, weighed at least about 66 pounds of pure gold. So you can see why people like Nebuchadnezzar and the Romans eventually wanted to loot the temple and haul away all these gold items. Now, in his preparations to build the temple, 1 Chronicles 22:14 tells us, you don't need to necessarily turn there either, that's 1 Chronicles 22:14, David amassed about 100,000 talents of gold. That's 6.6 million pounds. This gold that was going to be used by his son Solomon in the temple. Now, the value of that stockpile in today's markets is probably about $138 billion. Now, that is just a mind-boggling amount of wealth. Now, God required the very best of materials in the tabernacle and also in the temples. So God obviously enjoys the beauty of gold. And as I mentioned, Revelation 21 tells us that the New Jerusalem will be made of pure gold and adorned with all sorts of precious gems and have its streets paved with gold. And you say, well, that's nice. That's all well and good, but how does that apply to me? Well, here's the connection, brethren. God pictures the Christian character we are to build as spiritual gold. Now let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 10. Paul is speaking about the building of our faith. He says, according to the grace of God which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundations and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Now notice verse 11. Jesus Christ as our foundation. Paul says, for no other foundation can anyone lay other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And then he tells us that we are to build our character on that foundation of Christ. Verse 12. He says, now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become manifest or evident. Now, just as there are different building materials of a widely varying quality and value available to home builders and commercial construction, you know, a Christian is represented as having different materials available to use in building character. Three of them are valuable, and the last three are ordinary and readily destroyed by burning. Now, let's read verse 12 again, along with verse 13, this time from Modern Translation. He says, whether a person builds on this foundation with gold, silver, expensive stones, wood, hay, or straw, the workmanship of each person will become evident. For the day of judgment will show what it is, because it will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's action. The trials and tribulations of our physical lives are likened to fire that will test the character of each one of us, but that we're building. We're building with enduring materials like the gold, silver, and precious stones. We shall receive a reward. Verse 14 says, if anyone's work which he has built on the foundation endures, he will receive a reward. The Christian who is lax and builds character that is easily shaken or destroyed by even the smallest trials and tests is compared to the one who builds a house with, you know, the wood and the stubble and the perishable materials that are easily destroyed in a fire. Now let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. God seeks servants of high character and faith. And here in 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 3, Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now let's go ahead and turn to Revelation 3. We can't lose sight that God is building his family to share eternity with. It has to be enduring. We can't become self-satisfied and complacent with our spiritual works. Here in Revelation 3 and verse 18, God counsels the Laodiceans. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich. So let's take a little bit closer look at the properties and the qualities that make gold so desirable, and hopefully learn why they represent for a Christian striving to gain character, you know, what they represent for a Christian trying to gain character of spiritual gold. Now, gold is soft, has a beautiful, brilliant yellow luster and a glow that makes it very attractive. Gold bracelets, necklaces, rings, and earrings capture the eye's attention, you know, with appeal far above other metals. There's nothing quite so beautiful and desirable, it seems, as jewelry and art fashioned from high-quality gold by a skilled craftsman. Now, likewise, a Christian with the character of spiritual gold stands out from others. A deeply converted, growing, and overcoming Christian has a special quality of spirit that nothing else can match. The inner glow of God's Spirit radiating God's Spirit, and it details 9 special attributes of such a person. And here in Galatians 5, beginning in verse 22, he starts off with love. We just sang a song, a hymn about that. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now, the more that these fruits of God's Spirit abound in our lives, the more golden our character becomes in God's sight. And don't make any mistake, brethren, this beauty of character will be obvious to others too. It's something that we let shine forth from us that is coming actually from God's Spirit. It's something very special that sets a Christian apart. It's a light that cannot and should not be hidden. Now, each of us have to labor hard and long to develop that nature and character of God's pure gold character. We can't be, you know, like the builder who's content to use the perishable materials just to get by, thinking that our goal is only just to make it into God's kingdom. There's so much more than that. You know, a lot of hard work and expense goes into extracting gold from the ground. And unlike the days of David and Solomon, where gold was very plentiful, there's not a lot of gold being produced in the world today. That's why the price is so high. That what they do find and they mine is in ever more remote and difficult places to reach. And someone once said that if you took all the gold that's ever been mined in the entire history of the earth and put it in one place, it would only be a cube about 18 yards square. That's not that big. Now, during the California gold rush of the 19th century, the average miner worked hard all day long, probably daylight to sunset, 7 days a week, to collect, you know, maybe a half an ounce of gold per day, if he was lucky. It was hardly a get-rich-quick venture for anybody. And most of them, if they did find something, spent everything they made on either more supplies, booze, women, or just plain got robbed of whatever they might have had. It was not an easy life. Now, in some of the world's mining operations today, they have to go through 20 tons of ore to process 1 ounce of pure gold. And much of that, as in, like in some of the South African mines, is more than 2 miles below the surface of the earth. That's a lot of work to get to that. Now, let's turn to Philippians 2 and verse 12. Philippians 2 and verse 12. Both gold mining and building Christian character takes a lot of work to succeed. We're instructed here in Philippians. Philippians 2 verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, brethren, God builds his gold and character in Christians just as he created the gold that's mined from the earth, and it requires great effort to acquire either one. Let's look at Philippians 3. Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. It's not enough to just want character. It takes more than that. Just as mining the gold nuggets found on the earth, we also must be willing to work and sacrifice for the spiritual gold with all of our being. And Paul writes here of that effort required in Philippians 3, verse 13 and 14. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, in the cemetery industry, we get a great deal of bronze. It's just an alloy of copper and brass. It won't ever rust, but it does. Oops, let me see here, I pull something off. It does tend to tarnish and turn green. Now, you might have, get this thing pulled back up. I pulled the phone off the stand here. Okay, we're back in business again. Now, you might have noticed, like the Statue of Liberty in New York Harbor, I had the honor of actually going there many years ago and going up in one of the World Trade Centers and also the Statue of Liberty. And you'll notice that it's skin, which is just a thin beaten copper over a frame. Through the years, it's what they call patinaed to a light green color, which is just the natural oxidation of the metal. Opposite of that, archaeologists have uncovered golden objects that have been buried for thousands of years and find that they still have their original luster and beauty after they dig them up. Under normal conditions, gold will never tarnish or rust. In fact, there's only a few very strong acids that can spoil the beauty of pure gold. I remember being taught in my chemistry class in high school about the durability of gold. We were amazed that you could actually drop a gold ring in a strong acid solution like sulfuric acid wouldn't do a thing to it except clean it. It made it brighter, more shiny. It didn't do anything else to it. Gold possesses an incorruptible nature, which if we make the spiritual comparison, which is what we're trying to do today, it pictures Christian character at its best, pure and uncorrupted. Now let's turn over to 1 John 2. 1 John 2, and we're going to look at verse 15. As Christians or followers of Christ, we are not to be easily led into sin by the trials and cares of life or by any of the character-destroying temptations everywhere in this evil world. Here in 1 John 2, verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." And he continues to say that world is going to pass away, and everything that's in it is going to pass away. Now, God has called us to be overcomers in this world. We have to count, he has to count on us to be faithful and obedient to him always, no matter what the corrosive influences are at work to eat away our character. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians, this time chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Paul emphasized this aspect of golden character when he wrote this. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Another of the valuable assets of gold is that it will make surfaces highly reflective. Thin gold leaf is commonly placed on the outer surfaces of a lot of spacecraft, and that's to reflect the intense heat and radiation that they encounter out there. Without that kind of protection, the inside of these spacecraft, even with the air conditioning systems that they might have, would rise to the point that it would damage that sensitive electrical equipment inside. Now, in a similar way, here on Earth, gold is sometimes added to window glass, especially in a commercial application, to reflect the sun's heat-producing infrared energy. It makes it much cooler inside. Gold, actually, in that way, actually lowers the air conditioning requirements without really reducing the transmission of light through the glass itself. And, brother, our lives should reflect the character of God. Every day that we live, we are to shine as lights by the power of the Holy Spirit, setting a clear example to all who come in contact with us of God's way of life. Let's turn to Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 1, and verse 3. Now, our goal is to become like Christ Jesus, who in all ways and at all times merely John quotes Jesus Christ in John 14, verse 9. You don't need to turn there. John 14, verse 9, he just says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Christ mirrored his Father, and we must mirror Christ. Another valuable aspect of a pure gold is that it is soft. It's malleable, and it's ductile. It's easily fashioned and shaped by a craftsman. And likewise, obviously, you're making these spiritual comparisons. Our character should be soft and malleable in God's hands, who is the master craftsman. You know, a pound of gold, a pure gold, can be drawn into a wire so thin that it would stretch 900 miles, or it can be beaten into sheets 3 millionths of an inch thick. It would require 3,000 of those little sheets of gold to equal the thickness of 1 3x5 paper card. They're so thin and so light that a breeze would blow them away. Light will shine through them. Now remember, back in the book of Exodus concerning the tabernacle and the temple, virtually everything that wasn't solid gold was layered with a thin gold sheet. Now let's go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation verse 21, verse 18. John is describing the New Jerusalem. He says, "And the construction of its walls was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass." And verse 21, the last part, says, "And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass." Now think about it, brethren. That's probably a level of purity that is totally unknown on this earth. Gold easily alloys with other metals in order to impart greater hardness or other specific properties. It's a joy for the goldsmith to use. It's not brittle like pottery or glass, or hard or unmanageable, like iron that you got to grind on. Gold can be fashioned into whatever the craftsman desires. And again, who is a greater craftsman than God? God is our master craftsman, brethren. We are as spiritual gold to be yielded, humble, and receptive to his correction and instruction without resisting or breaking. Now let's look at Romans 6, verse 13. Romans 6, verse 13. We are to be molded in God's character for his purpose to be fulfilled in our lives. He says, "Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Now let's turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 38. Jesus Christ, our supreme example, set as such an example for us to follow. He says here in John 6 verse 38, "I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me." Now, gold is often used in sophisticated industrial applications, where it's corrosion resistant and highly reliable electrical conduit. When you don't want any failures to happen with your connections and stuff like that, and when you're wiring, the choice is going to be gold. Look at the space program. A lot of gold goes into many of the electrical connections and the instruments of satellites. And even now, you buy a new flat screen TV or stereo equipment. If you really want the best reception or the best music through that system, you buy something that has gold-plated connections. There's nothing better. Now, Christians, too, are to be fail-safe conductors of God's Spirit. God's Spirit is to flow from God through us to do his will in our life. Now let's look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 13. We're told there, "For it is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases Him." Now here's another fascinating characteristic of gold. Heat causes gold compounds to break down, yielding that bright yellow metal that we're all familiar with. Not only does the heat remove impurities from the metal by forming a slag that can be skimmed off the top, but it also changes the chemical composition of gold so that it returns gold to its pure metallic state. Now, God also intends the heat of our trials and tests to bring out the character in our Christian character. Gold tried in the fire is pure and refined. If you remember, God tells the Laodiceans to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be truly rich. Let's go back to Psalm 19. Psalm 19, we're going to read verse 7 through 10. Psalm 19, beginning in verse 7. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are light, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold." You know, when we experience personal trials in our life, we should remember that God is refining us to bring out the best, the pure gold of His character in us. But we have to be careful, brethren. There is a counterfeit gold. It's called fool's gold. But the reality is not gold at all. It's iron pyrite. To the unknowing or the untrained eye, it looks like genuine gold. It's bright and yellow and shiny, but it's only a crystal of a common iron ore. If you don't know the real thing, iron pyrite can fool you. I remember when I was a kid, I was shown this big chunk of fool's gold by a neighborhood boy. And my eyes grew big, and I got all excited to see this big crystal, what I thought was pure gold. But I was being fooled. It was a fake. It wasn't real. And that lesson has become a basis of one of my favorite sayings in life: all that glitters is not gold. It needs to be assayed. You need to check it for the purity. What is it really? Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 and 6. The lesson here is to be careful. Be sure that the character you're developing is really God's golden character and not your own counterfeit. Put it to the test. A common phrase we hear, you know, prior to Passover every year, is to examine yourself. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 and 6. It tells us to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you unless, of course, you fail the test? Now, the meaning of that Greek phrase that is quoted there, it relates to assaying materials. Metal that doesn't assay properly fails the test. It's not pure, and it's not usable for its intended purpose. You know, old miners, those old 49ers back in California, if they discovered something, they'd do a simple test. They'd bite it. If it was really gold, soft metal would yield to their teeth and dent. Of course, that's probably not the best test for gold anymore, but it worked for them most of the time. If the ore was iron pyrite instead, it probably would break a tooth. So how do we test or examine our character to see if it is in harmony with God's Word and not just some worthless substitute or our own counterfeit righteousness? Well, the answer is simple. You probably already know it. We have to compare ourselves to God's law, the Ten Commandments. We apply Jesus' teachings found in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the so-called Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and the list of the fruits of God's Spirit that we read through a while ago in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. If you're meeting those standards, then you probably have some genuine character being developed in you. Those are only a few of the tests that we could use to examine ourselves. But we have to remember to compare ourselves with Christ, not one another. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, you don't need to turn there necessarily. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, Paul told the Corinthians that those who commend themselves and measure themselves by themselves and compare themselves among themselves are not wise. You know, think about it. Other men's so-called righteousness is not what we are to use as our standard. Our riches are found in God and Christ. Our lives and experiences are a potential goldmine that will yield rich spiritual treasure if we yield to God. Now, he gives us all an opportunity to become spiritual billionaires if we are only willing to yield to him and overcome and put forth some plain hard work using the tools that we are so familiar with, prayer and Bible study, fasting and meditation, to extract spiritual gold from the experiences and the trials of life. Now, this spiritual gold is even more valuable than the metal, which can be lost, stolen, or destroyed. And the time is rapidly coming when men will realize there is no lasting benefit from seeking security and protection in money and precious metals. God alone is our sure provider and protector. Let's turn back to Revelation again. This time, Revelation 3, and we're going to look at verse 14 through 17. And we need to recall the lesson of the Laodiceans here. They were self-satisfied. They did not look to God for their needs and their security. They were content with their own character and their righteousness. They did not realize the danger of the spiritual fool's gold that they were building their character with. Revelation 3, beginning in verse 14. This is from the New International Version. It says, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need anything. But you do not realize that you are wretched and pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." What an indictment. What is God's answer for their problem? He says in verse 18, "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you may become rich, and white clothes to wear, that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes, so that you can see." God told them to come to him for the imperishable gold that only he offers, in order to possess the true gold of his righteous character that will endure eternally. Now, brethren, the opportunity to gain the spiritual wealth God offers to us, that he has called, is there for all who are willing to put forth the effort to develop God's character. The ultimate reward God promises is to be part of his special treasure, part of his spiritual temple and his family. The gold is there, brethren. It's waiting. And it's up to us now to make the effort and go and get it. Okay, that does conclude the sermon, so let me go back over here.